It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And Coach, with us on this particular episode of Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach, someone who reached out to you about being on the show.
Yeah, and this guy is super excited, super pumped, and ready to go. Anybody that's got themselves in a skin suit with a nice name on it, standing in front of themselves on Facebook, has got to be someone I want to talk to for sure. I can't wait. Davo's coming up here in just a few minutes.
Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
We're brought to you by Pinnacle Racing. I know we're talking about this, Coach, each and every episode on Skate Talk, but you still have time to get with Jimmy Blair to take care of your skating needs, your equipment needs, as we get set for the American Championships. IDN, ODN, there's still time. Jimmy is a phone call away. He's a website away. You can find him at PinnacleRacing.com.
Now we have Davo. I'm super excited. I've had a few text messages back and forth. But Davo, how are you doing?
Doing great. You know, you made it in speed skating when you're on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
Oh, you are too kind, my friend.
We're going to use that. Like, that's going to be a quote when you go to, like, our Facebook page. Or it's going to be right up there. You've made it
on Skate Talk.
Exactly. And, Coach, you told me a couple of nights ago that you had reached out to him. And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. You know, that's what we like. We like to talk skating. And by all means, if anyone wants to come on the show, just like we were saying, getting a hold of Jimmy Blair, we're a phone call away. We're really easy to get a hold of. You know, our Facebook is Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Drop us a message. Odds are you already know Coach's number anyway. I mean, I think everyone knows Coach's number.
Well, I'm available, that's for sure. So, Dave, let's dig right in. Now, me and Dave had a discussion here not too long ago about skaters coming back. And where are these skaters? And we talk all the time about the greats, you know, the Cheryl Azells and even like Vicky King, you know, she's still around, but she's not skating like she used to, you know. And they kind of disappear. All these skaters, they make it to that high level, and they just disappear. And Davo reached out and said, hey, I'm a skater, used to skate. I'm back. It's been a long time. I'd like to be on a show. I said, hey, come on, let's get on a show. Let's talk about it. So when did you start speed skating for the first time?
And I think it was 94, the Emerald Coast Challenge, back when Dave Weber originally did it when he was back in Milton. Skated one meet, basically, before we moved to Pensacola.
Okay. And was this an inline or a quad event?
This was inlines. I had them old school plastic Rydells with the five-wheel 72-millimeter wheels. I can't remember what brand they were back then, but, I mean, I had it kind of rough. I bought my own skates, and I was like, I want to give this thing a shot. I made it to all my finals that first time skating. I was like, well, this sounds pretty fun.
So you had the original real speed skates when
they had five
wheels.
Yeah, and it's 72.
I did. I was the only one out there on plastic, you know, plastic boots with I think it was like a black Eagle Hawk frame, like it was with a spacer that went between the heel. I don't know if y'all remember that one, but that's what I had. And, you know, of course, everybody else had their Bonts. You know, that's when Bont came out. And Bont was real big back then.
Yeah.
Everybody had Bonts.
But I tell you what, you had that, and you said you got to those finals. What was that like? So first meet, you're out there, and all of a sudden, you're getting out of your heats. You're getting into your finals.
Well, anybody who starts speed skating, and this is freshman boys, big class back then, you kind of was kind of confused. It's like, okay, what's a heat? What's a semi? What's a quarter? Back then, we had a lot of skaters, a lot. So it was a big deal to make it, even out of your heats, it was a huge deal because you had 7 on the line.
And that's why I know a lot of us, when we talk about, you know, making that trip to, say, like a nationals for the first time or even a regionals, where you do tend to have a larger number of skaters, where the goal typically that first time out is, hey, just make it out of your heat, because that's challenging enough. That's hard enough just to get out of your heat. Then all of a sudden, you go out there, you're getting out of the heats and the quarters and the semis and into the finals that first time out, man. That had to have felt really good and maybe just kind of springboarded you into the future here.
It did. Luckily, afterwards, we had a little shakeup at the local rink. I went and skated in Pensacola for Richard Hawkins. Everybody knows him as Spanky.
Yeah.
At Landmark, and I did that for about a handful of years as well. And I think Spanky really, he's the reason why I probably came back to speed skating, is because I had such a good experience as a child growing up with him, riding in the back of his old station wagon looking for the Krispy Kreme hot donut sign.
That's fantastic.
That is,
I mean, we all have made that search looking for the Krispy Kreme hot donut sign. I will do that before practice tonight, looking for that Krispy Kreme hot donut sign.
Yeah, he'd call you fat sucker 1 second and then fill you up with Krispy Kreme the next. He's like, well, this is why I'm fat.
So you were skating, and then you got out of skating. Why?
I got older. I had to go to college. I struggled with, you know, work and college and skating. And skating kind of took a little, you know, when Spanky left the Pensacola area and went to go to USARS, you know, we had a little hole here, I guess, you know. So only a handful of us really skated anymore. And it just got to be to the point where, you know, it was tough to do it. I don't know if you've ever skated for Dave Weber. I skate for Dave Weber now at Emerald Coast. It's a 6-day-a-week job. Get up, you know, 5 in the morning, you go to the gym, you do your group training, you do your plyos, whatever else the day calls for. And then evening times, you skate indoor or outdoor. So, and that's just on the weekdays. Imagine the weekends is usually, you know, gym. We do, you know, bicycling, and then we'll do some indoor as well. So, you know, skating takes up a lot of time if you want to be successful at it.
That's another one of those things we should probably put a quote up on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
That skating does take a lot of time. It's more than just if you have a handful of practices a week. You can't just go and get on those on the floor those 3 times and say, I'm going to be a success. It's all that other work, just like you were talking about. When you got into college, did you try and make a go at it where you were still trying to juggle the skating with the college and the job, or did you just know right away this isn't going to work?
No, I had to front my own money for college, so it was kind of one of the things where when your own money's on the line, you tend to work a little harder on the college thing. And I don't regret that decision. I mean, that was a hard decision to make, but at the same time, nobody in my family ever went to college. Nobody in my family ever had anything. And I want to be that first one to do that.
So shout out to where you graduated from.
University of West Florida, UW.
There you go. Nice, 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 nice. A lot warmer than where I went to school. So regardless of all of that. So, all right, so you're out of school, you graduate, and again, when it's your own money on the line, obviously that changes the whole game, the whole dynamic. Did you think about when you finish school, maybe making a jump back into speed skating? What was your thought process there like?
I always wanted to go back to speed skating. And, of course, you always hear the old-timers say that. Hey, I'm coming back. Hey, I'm coming back. Hey,
oh
I'm coming
gosh.
Back. This season, I'm coming back. And you kind of roll your eyes a little bit, and you're like, yeah, yeah, okay, I've heard this a bunch. And I know people did that to me. And finally, it was about 2013. Unfortunately, my mom had passed. She died barely 50 years old. My mom loved speed skating. She loved speed skating. We drove an hour 5 days a week to a rink to take me to practice when I was a kid.
That's dedication.
And so after my mom had passed, I started kind of thinking about that, and I was like, you know, and then it took a doctor's visit. I actually got acid reflux, and I went to the doctor, and I got on a scale, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm 5'4", and I'm 193 pounds. What am I going to do? One day I decided to jog around the block. I did 5 miles. I, you know, did intervals, basically, is what I did. Jogged the straights, walked the corners. Lost 20 pounds in 6 weeks and said, well, how am I going to keep this off? I don't want to run. I hate running. Running sucks. Oh, I love skating. So October 2015, I was like, I'm going back to speed skating. So I went and bought me a pair of skates, showed up to one of Dave Weber's practices, and, of course, I'm sure those eyes rolled. It's like, he'll last a couple months and he'll quit. And here I am. so didn't quit.
So you're that small minority because, yeah, we see it all the time, unfortunately, mm-hmm. where someone will come back, man, it's great to see you. You are a phenomenal skater. They'll get a couple of practices. And I think then that's when the reality sets in that this is not easy.
Yeah.
And you also feel like if you've had a gap in your training that, oh my gosh, everyone else got faster. I'm not nearly as fast, so I want to just not do it versus saying, hey, if I just stay with it, I'll actually get right back up to where I need to be.
Man, I can remember my first practice. I think Dave was trying to test me. He's like, 5 laps. I got lapped twice in a 5-lap race. How did that happen?
That's every
and I was a sprinter when I quit. And I got lapped twice in 5 laps. I said, this ain't going to be good. I got a long way to, you know, I got a long way to go. And, of course, I got the title of Old Man Dave-O for a while. And now those kids don't really, you know, they don't really talk too much smack anymore. Now they got to kind of worry a little bit about me. So
what are you rolling on? What kind of equipment are you skating on today?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm on Victory Skates right now. I'll be honest, right now, the boot-wise, I'm still on Jimmy's Pinnacle. Love the boot. Great boot. We're trying out some new products with R-Speed, RS-Speed. So I'm working on a new boot, but, you know, right now is really not the time to make the switch with regionals right around the corner.
Yeah.
Our training has got pumped up. I don't know if a lot of people know this or not. Dave Weber actually bought our Milton Skating Rink where we have the Emerald Coast Classic. So he started Monday with reconstruction. So now we have indoor. Probably 7 days a week if he had his way with it, you know?
Well, yeah, if it's his rink, he can do whatever he wants.
Well,
yeah.
Within reason.
Yeah, rink, do whatever you want to do.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, so we got that going on. But, like I said, I skate on Victory. Frank Holland's been extremely good to me. He picked me up back in January during the Emerald Coast Classic. And it's been a great relationship ever since. He bought me up to a team manager, which basically I get to babysit a bunch of the kids and tell them how to use social media. Out of all things, which I think last time I checked, the kids should be better at social media than me. But here we are. So,
yeah, hopefully you're teaching them how to use it the right way, because it seems like on social media, although it's a great tool and it should be an awesome asset, it tends to sometimes be a horrible tool and it's a garbage dump for people. And, you know, for negative people that really want to have some negativity in their life, man, it's 100% right up their lane because they can just dump it all out there and not care who they offend and keep going with it. So it can be bad.
But in that life, I mean, that's life in my opinion. Is you can decide to look at the ugly or you can decide to look at the good stuff. And, you know, so I try to teach the kids, you know, we do have talks. We do have a group. We do discuss, hey, here's what I want to see. Here's what I don't want to see. You know, like you said, teaching them how to use social media right. And even myself, I got to watch my political posts, my local posts. You know, stuff that just why post it if it ain't doing any good, why post it?
Right. Well, I always say, and I do work in a profession where they closely monitor what we put out on social media, and I always just stick to like, you know, skating stuff or cat pictures or Transformers or whatever. But you know, I understand we get mad, we get upset, we all do. But you know, just type it out, but then stop. And don't hit send or enter. Just type it so you get it out. You vented it out. It's there. Okay, now let's pull it away versus the enter button. That's where you really want to just stop at that point then.
It's that diarrhea of the hands.
Yes. Just go.
So hey,
But you can find good stuff. If you work hard at it, you can find the good stuff in people. You know, look at the stuff we got going on in the world now with the mass shootings, but nobody's reporting the guy who stopped the shooting. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have to look for
right.
the good and the
you're
stuff
right.
that's happening.
You're and, right. And that's what we try to be, is that positive light on things. I mean, and you know, you've been around forever. You've been around back in the day when it was the heyday, and now you're around when it's trying to make a comeback and trying to stay growing steadily. You know, there's a lot of negativity within our own sport, and there's a lot of animosity between different coaches and different athletes. And I think at the end of the day, most people just really, really, really care enough about the sport, and they feel very passionate. And the similarities are alike a lot. I mean, everybody has the exact same view. Everybody wants to grow the sport. The question is how to grow the sport. The question is how do you maintain this industry and keep it growing and thriving for the next group of skaters that we'd like to see come in. So.
Right, and I love the last skate talk. I listen to it, of course, like I do every episode since I've been back. I do love the last episode we had. We discussed a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day, I think people need to get from behind that keyboard and go face-to-face.
Yes.
I think that would be the best thing people can do. Truth be told, there's some things I agree with you on, there's some things I don't agree with you on.
Sure.
That doesn't mean I'm not open to try things.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't fail, we just learn. So when you have those, some people call them failing moments, I call them moments of learning. You know, it's a time that you can learn something and say, oh, well, that didn't work, or that did work. But we have a lot of competition in sports. Let's face it, we talked about it earlier about how hard this sport is.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be dedicated to this sport. It's not easy. It's not, you know, my youngest plays baseball, you know, at the Christian school here. You know, they practice twice a week. They play a game a week. You know, they don't train. They don't, you know, they just have fun.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that mentality. If you have the mentality of, I just want to go skate and have fun, man, you're more than welcome to come do that.
Yeah.
But if you want to be good, you're going to put in an effort. And I try to teach my son that is, you know, get from behind them video games. Get out from behind them video games. And go throw the ball on the roof and catch in the air. Work on your pop flies.
Right.
You know?
I found myself this past weekend. I have three grandchildren, and they were over at the house. And I realized that kids today, I mean, I can remember as you know, just whatever, my earliest of memories and back in the day, my mom would have yelled at me because I didn't check in near enough or because I miss getting home before those street lights, those darn street lights came on and I was two blocks away. Well, that's a spanking when you get home because you're supposed to be home before the street lights come on. And I didn't check in or whatever. And I think about my grandkids and I'm like, well, that's something that's kind of gone away because I don't have to have them check in. All I got to do is turn around. They're right up your butt. They expect kids today expect you to supply them with 100% entertainment. And it's like they can't figure it out on their own that we got 9 acres of property. It's like you could get lost on the property if you really wanted to. And I'm waiting for my grandson to get a little older. I think he's just too young right now to really get out and do his own thing. But it just blows me away. I mean, and it's not just my grandkids. It's kids today. It's a lot of kids.
Well, we have that issue at practice all the time where, and I can understand for some of the adults, we have jobs, maybe we're waiting for an email because it can come in at all hours of the day. A phone call, whatever. I had a call that I had to take at practice, you know, a couple of nights ago that I had to take it. I had to return the phone call. But, you know, for the kids, it's like, you know, you get done, drill's over, and versus maybe talking to one of the peer coaches or watching the next group of skaters, it's like, let me pull out that phone and do whatever.
Oh, they're flappy golfing or they're emailing somebody, or they're Snapchatting somebody, or they're checking an email, or not.
You must have some lax practices. We don't get to do that.
Well, we have to like because of the numbers. I mean, we run into situations where some of us just have to go off the floor.
Yeah,
because
we have a smaller floor, so it's not like I can put people doing one drill at one part of the floor and then another group. And we can do that to some degree, but most of the time we start blocking. When you start blocking people in groups of five or six to a group. Well, you know, we might have five or six groups. And when you got five or six groups, you can't, I mean, obviously you can't train everybody at the same time. You can on some stuff, but there's certain things you just can't do that with. And, yeah, it's just kids, I just had to have this discussion with, and I did. I laid it out there for my team, and I said, you know, I'll be honest, I'm sick and tired of it. I mean, I'm just fed up with it. I'm tired of when you leave the floor, you leave and you go over and you pick your phone up. You're here for an hour and a half. I mean, I'm all for social media. I think it's great, but you can't put it down for an hour and a half while you should be training, you know. And again, you can be watching somebody. So you took a 10-year hiatus. You come back. You got a whole new perspective. You're trying to make a stance for yourself. Have you skated You've skated nationals since you've been back, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir. I won. Luckily, you know, Jimmy Blair got a bye this past year from nationals because he was a national champion year before last,
okay.
So they got a bye for 2017. So that led me into my regional championship that when Jimmy was gone. So I had one regionals, my first full year back. I had one regionals, of course, won the SFSL league championship stuff, and went to nationals with an open mind. I'm here to do my best. Made it out of the heat. Semis, I struggled. You know, that old saying of train harder so you can skate smarter. That's what I'm living by this year, because I learned that at Nationals. Yeah. But, man, these old-school skaters, I was in awe. I saw Steve Carter. I was excited.
Is
I
that
saw
guy
Steve
amazing
Carter.
Or
like,
what?
I got a race against Steve Carter. And I was like, no, Steve Carter's got a race against me. You know, I had that in my head. You
Look
know,
around,
I'm
yeah.
here too, you
yes,
know.
Yes,
but I'm lined up with him and others, you know, like Nikki and Jimmy. And, I mean, a lot of people that I looked up to as a kid, and Jimmy's only a couple years older than me.
Sure.
But still, I can remember, I mean, even being in a final with Jimmy Blair was like, oh, you know, yeah, you had yeah. made it.
What are you talking about? Standing on the floor next to Jimmy today, I feel that way.
Yeah. And Jimmy's one of my favorite competitors. I got to throw him some love because he's one of my favorite competitors. And I discussed this in my little private chat group with the kids on Victory Skates. Is he is one of my favorite competitors. The reason why is because he's sincere. He either fist pumps or handshakes, tells everybody good luck before every race.
Yes.
And he's the most sincere guy you'll probably meet in speed skating.
Yeah, but you know
and
what,
I love
though?
That.
You got to watch his hands on the hips because Jimmy's a hip puller. He's an old school
I'm not saying
guy.
Jimmy don't get mad from time to time, but, you know.
I'm kidding.
He's got to show some grace.
I kid with Jimmy. Last season, every episode, I found a way to throw in that Jimmy Blair was going to be skating Athens to Atlanta on every episode.
Oh, yeah.
I kid with Jimmy all the time. He's a good guy, and you're right, you know. If you ever sit and watch Jimmy in the booth, he is a speed skate lover. He watches everything from the tiny tots all the way up, you know, to the premier division this year. He's that in tune with one. I mean, he loves to just watch racing, and when he's involved and he's engaged, I guarantee you he's not thinking about a boot that he's got to mold or thinking about a boot he's got to cast or anything like that. He's only thinking about that race. And he can shake your hand and he can say, hey, you know, good luck. But I can tell you, when he gets on there, he's all blood, sweat, and tears going to win that race if he can. And then,
oh, yeah, we ain't friends when that gun goes off. We ain't friends.
You ain't friends anymore, buddy. Now you're the person that's going to take the position behind me, not in front of me. And that's how Jimmy races. And then when he comes off the track, he's back to shaking your hands and it's all on the track. He leaves it all on the track like you should. I mean, that's really how you should do it. And yeah, hats off to you for having that mindset of being able to put Jimmy as behind you and that he's on the floor with you. You're not on the floor with him. I love that. Good job.
And you got to at the end of the day. I mean, that's, you know, those are some of the guys I think about early in the morning. Get up at 5 a.m., go to the gym. Is, man, I got to beat them.
Mm-hmm. And that gives you that motivation, you know, because it's not easy to get up and have to get your workout in them. But if you're thinking about that, it does make it.
Yeah.
A lot easier. There's that goal there. So, and I know you had mentioned regionals, not that far off. What is on tap for you? Obviously, regionals, nationals, any other competitions you have going on here that you're planning on hitting over the next couple of months?
Well, we've had some issues with the rink situation here locally, unfortunately. So, I don't think as the Emerald Coast Speed Team, we're not participating in ODN this year, unfortunately, because I really feel like I'm pretty strong outdoor, and I'd love to go outdoor, but we're going to have to skip that one this year and refocus for next year. So the only thing I have in my head right now is just regionals. That's my thing. Make it out of regionals. Make it out of regionals. And, you know, I'm not trying to count my chickens or anything, but I'm actually looking ahead of who do I got to face at nationals? You know, who's going to be there this year? Because you got all these, you got an Olympian in there. You got an Olympian skating. You got Steve Carter skating. You got Nikki skating. You got former world champion, or sorry, national champion Jimmy skating.
Yep.
The Masters division is no cakewalk.
Oh, by no means. No, for sure.
By any stretch of the imagination, you know, you're going against former world team members and Olympians and national champions. I mean, it's not a cakewalk. The Masters has just become a couple year older seniors. I mean, all those guys I mentioned could easily skate senior.
Yeah, for sure. And that's how, you know, if you watch over the years, it always seems like, you know, the world team, there's a world team guy that holds on to the pro division or holds on to the senior division for as long as they can possibly hold on. And then there's two skaters, and I say guy, but it could be a guy or a girl, doesn't matter. But there's two types of skaters. There's the skater that was the pro-level skater, and they get past their prime, and they hold on as long as they can. And instead of going out when they're on top, they go out when they can't keep up anymore. And then they do one of two things. They either say, I'm done, and they quit, and it seems to be a norm, or they say, okay, now I can't really keep up with the seniors anymore. Now I'm going to the classic division. And now every classic guy has to have that oh crap moment. There's a Stephen Carter that ran with the world team members and ran with the pro division, and he's on his last year of classic eligibility, and he's now coming into classic, and he's been running with the pros for the last 15 years. So, but there's a handful of them that do jump over and skate their natural division once they can't keep up anymore. But for whatever reason, it's almost like the mentality is, once you hit a pinnacle of racing where you were on top and you were the best, it's like it's not as fun, maybe, or maybe it's the attitude of once you've been the best, you don't want to be that best skater that all of a sudden is getting beat by all the people that maybe didn't make it to that level and you're of the same age. I mean, I can't imagine like a Mike Tyson who, you know, was this great fighter forever. Imagine him after his pro career saying, well, I'm not ready to give it up. I'm going to go down here and fight this local Brawl Street fight thing at the fight club down, you know, at the gym down the street from my house. And he goes in there and gets his clock cleaned by some average Joe schmuck off the street. I'd imagine that would just be a career ender for every endorsement and everything else. And not only that, a mental being destroyed. And I just kind of wonder if it's not the same mentality that some of our world-class skaters have that... Joey Mantilla told me one time, this is a great quote from Joey Mantilla. He said, the hardest races and the races that I get the most nervous about racing are league meets. And I said, what? I mean, you've been all over the world. You've competed against the best skaters in the world, and you were the number one in many cases and for a long time. And you're telling me a league meet makes you nervous. And he said, the problem with a league meet is everybody expects you to win every race mm-hmm. you get into. And he said, and you and I both know you can't win every one of them. You can have a bark out, a slip, a fall, take a bad pass or something, and next thing you know, you're getting DQ'd. I mean, there's multiple things that can happen. And then some, and not to be disrespectful, but just some average, lucky, everyday whatever senior man or classic man happens to be skating.
We'll just call Davo for grins and giggles. Exactly. We'll just call Davo.
Okay, so Davo's out there, and he happens to beat Joey Mantilla. I like this. This is a good story. So he beats Joey Mantilla, and you know what Davo's going to do right now? He's on Facebook. I just beat Joey Mantilla.
I'm Snapchatting it. I'm Instagramming that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That way it's gone in 8 seconds. So, it's one of those things I think that people tend to – I don't think they want to get caught in that situation when they're the pro-level skaters. So it's interesting. I've always questioned, why do we not keep those skaters? And you have broken the mold on some of that by coming back after 10 years and going to college. So I guess I can be a little bit more hopeful about some of my college kids that I lost a few years ago.
I think we all miss it, though. If you've ever stepped away from it, I just think it just still burns in you. I think once you're a skater, you're always a skater. You know, it's funny when a lot of people didn't, they kind of forgot that I was a speed skater, and they're like, oh, no, they didn't know me then. And they see me go to the rink, you know, for a birthday party or something like that. And, you know, I put on my quads, you know, just to mess with people and act like I can't skate. And they're like, okay, come on now, man. You got to stop playing around. Like, yeah, I can skate, you know. And, you know, and let's admit it. Sometimes, you know, when you got out of middle school and high school, when I got to high school, it really wasn't the coolest thing to do was speed skating. You know, you quit baseball to speed skate? Yeah, man. Why? You know, I mean, we were doing cool things, you know, having fun. I enjoyed speed skating, you know.
Yeah.
So growing up, that's what people knew you as. But I'm glad you mentioned something. I'm going to make one point real quick, if I could. I'm so sorry. But I got to mention this. You were talking about the pros in the league meets. You were talking about Joey Mantilla participating in league meets. That is something that kind of, broke my heart a little bit when I came back and saw the league meets. And the leagues, our South Florida Speed League, seems like it's doing pretty well. But I don't see any of the world team members. I don't see any pros. Let's face it, Florida's got a lot of them.
Yeah, they do.
They've got a ton of them. And I'm seeing them. I've seen them. I won't say any names, but I've seen them actually come to the meets. But they don't skate. They don't give the kids, you know, the people look forward to that. And I think that's something that world team members need to think about, or, you know, pros need to think about, was you're not too good to skate a league meet. get out there and skate that league meet, because there's kids who want to skate against you. There's people who, you know, they want to see you skate. The kids, yeah. You know, I got the Nationals, and I was excited to watch, like I said, some of those guys I mentioned earlier. I took a picture with Steve, you know, Carter. I was like, can you take a picture with me? You know, I was a kid in a candy store.
That's worth some money.
I'm 35 years old.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know what? In our region, we kind of, all the coaches in our region really do a good job of thanking and making sure that all of the world-class skaters, all the pro skaters, all the national champions, all the world team members that skate within our region, when they do show up to league meets, and for the most part, they show up to all the league meets, the local league meets here in our region, and they really represent the sport. They give these kids something to see. They get, and you know what? They get beat. I mean, Christian's been beat many a times by skaters that haven't reached the levels of competition that he's made it to. And when he gets beat, it's super frustrating. It's disheartening. But at the same time, when you look at that kid's face over there, you know, he's got his hands pumped up, and he's elated because he's proven to himself that he can be one of those next champions. You know, he can be one of those next world team members. Because he just showed him his own self that he's able to run the same times or beat one of those strong competitors. So that's a good, solid point, and I think that that's going to be the new challenge out there to the pro guys. We need to jump in there. You know what, Dave-O? I am getting the rap sign from Boomer because he's the one that monitors the time. I can talk skating all night except for I got to practice in about 12 minutes. So,
absolutely.
Gosh, we love having you on. Thank you so much.
And, Dave, what you
thank
have
you
to do.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for reaching out. And, again, any skater, welcome to reach out to us. Please let us know as we get through regionals, nationals. Come back on the show. Tell us how everything went. We'd love to get your thoughts. And the more you can encourage people to come back into the sport, please encourage people to come back into the sport.
Absolutely, every day.
And good luck with that manager's position you stepped up there with why am I spacing the name of the Victory?
Victory Skates.
Yeah, Victory Skates. I'm so sorry I spaced it there for a second. Yeah, with Victory Skates. Congratulations on that. That's awesome.
And thank you, Dave-O, for being with us on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. It is Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.